April 12, 2024. It's a Watt for Pedro show. Show. Happy Friday. Started off with John Coltrane, an excerpt from a composition of his called Impressions, November 18, 1961. Eric Dolphy's with him. Then we had Watches with Our Pleasure, because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, we got Tristan and Emma Watches, all the way from Asheville, North Carolina. Welcome aboard.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, let's have a little spiel here. How I know these people. I got to share a stage with them in their town last fall, helping the MSSV tour. And actually, one of your pop helped get my speaker box in the boat, the new boat.
Yeah, that was my dad.
Okay. I was bitching of him. You got to thank. That was really beautiful. And also, bearing with, you know, a lot of shows had to get postponed, people, because of the heavy rains here and AT&T not keeping up with their infrastructure. Anyway, fuck that shit. We're here now, all together. And Tristan wants to go first. Tristan, please bring your earliest musical memory.
Oh, man, my earliest musical memory. This is just anything relating to music or playing it?
No, music. You know, usually you probably, when younger, heard it first. Right. I've had cats on the show talk about still being in their ma and hearing shit.
Oh, man. Okay. I wouldn't say that early, but...
yeah, it's okay. Remember, it's a Walk for Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Okay. Well, let me try my best here. Let me think. I think my earliest memory was my dad playing MTV on the TV, and I saw AC/DC come on. It was, what was the song? I think it was Back in Black. It was classic back in the day. But that was my first musical memory, is hearing that and being like,
not real classic, because Bon Scott would be classic.
Yeah, that's real classic. That's real classic.
Okay. It's all relative, right?
Yeah.
So this pad you grew up in, Tristan, was there musical instruments?
No, there was no musical instruments in there at all.
Okay, let me ask you this. At school, were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
In middle school and early high school, I was in orchestra and I played the cello.
Cello? Tuned in fifths. Yeah, okay. The only lame thing is the way you have to play it between the legs like that.
So yeah,
it's beautiful. It's got huge range. Maybe whole human voice. First record you bought with your own money, Tristan? I mean, it don't have to be vinyl. It could be a cassette. It could be a CD or whatever.
Yeah.
But with your own money, because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. That's why I asked that question.
That's right. It was Discovery by Daft Punk was the first record I
owned. Daft Punk, France. Okay. And what about the first gig you saw?
First gig I saw, that's a long while ago. Back when I lived in Winston-Salem, it was probably seeing random punk shows over at a...
Well, show, right? I've said your first gig, not all your gigs.
Right.
I asked that question because you could only have your first gig once, right?
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
So I'm curious. A lot of times cats, like their parents bring them to some Simon and Garfunkel, it's not even their choice, right?
Right.
But I'm just curious, See, the idea of this whole show, it's going to be 24 years next month. It's just giving back, a lot of people come from different places to where they are with music, and I want to show other people that, so maybe they won't be afraid. Vincent only painted his last 10 years, so that's why I ask these kind of questions. They ain't supposed to be all nosy shit. It's more like, hey, whoa, that's what he did? Okay. So it was some gig. So you were more east than the state.
Yep, yeah, I was more eastward in the state when
not
I was growing
much,
up.
Not a lot, but a little bit. Second to last Minuteman gig was Winston-Salem.
Really?
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't shit you. Last one was Charlotte.
Wow, Charlotte. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we didn't plan on it, but that's the way it worked out. The last song I played with D-Boom was See No Evil. And in fact, I was on a guitar. Pete Buck put me on one of his guitars with the fucking tiny little strings. Yeah, okay. Tell me, how did you get on the guitar?
I got on the guitar from, first of all, watching a lot of AC/DC stuff as a kid. But second of all, playing Guitar Hero growing up was a huge influence on me as a little kid.
You were already a guitar hero.
Yeah, I was already a guitar hero.
Whoa, okay. What, did somebody give you one? Your pop, was it a gift? Did you ask for it? Did you do a paper route? I mean, how'd you get this guitar?
Yeah, so for my ninth birthday, my dad took me to a pawn shop, and he was like, anything under $50, like, pick out an amp, pick out a guitar, and make it work. And I picked out this little, off-brand wood-colored Stratocaster, and I got this little...
What kind of Stratocaster, right?
Yeah, it looks like a Stratocaster. Yeah.
No, because I know about pawn shop, me and D. Boone's first, except ours were $15. But I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. And did you teach yourself, or did you take lessons? Did you try to learn songs off records? You were talking AC/DC. A lot of A chord there.
Yeah, a lot of A chord, a lot of E chord. But
a lot of bar chord.
Yeah, bar chords, E chords, D chords, all the classics. But I took lessons for a week and a half and decided I didn't like it, and then just went home and started playing off of records. Just sitting.
And what made you not like the lesson part?
So it was all too it was too surgical. It was too, like, here's how you do it, and there is no other way. And I just wasn't a fan of that. I wanted to do things my own way.
A lot of cats on the show. They bum on the whole fucking music lesson thing. The worst is the piano ones, of course, but the guitar's up there, too. Usually it's like, man, I wanted to learn, Angus Young, and they're teaching me, I don't know, Jingle Bells or some shit. Instead of Hell's Bells.
Right.
All right. Okay, so, look, this is after school. Not graduating, but in the afternoon. Do you get into the basement band, garage band, bedroom band thing?
Yeah, my very first band was fresh out of high school. I might have even still been in, but I was in this stoner rock band for a little bit, but that dissolved. But the big one was this band I was in, actually with Emma, called Forteza. We were in that band for about 5 years, and that was fresh out of high school.
Well, that first band you were talking about, did they ever do a gig, or was it just prax?
It was all just playing in a garage.
So your first gig was the one with Emma?
Yes.
Tell me about your first gig.
What was our first gig? Man,
that's a lot of the high. Well, this is your first gig, period, right? It's not just your first gig in this band. It's your first gig.
Yeah, that was the first gig ever.
I want to hear about it, please.
Okay. That was at this place called The Hut in Winston-Salem, which was a skateboard half-pipe / music venue, and they had, like, a stage set up in the way back.
Sure. Fayetteville used to have that in Arkansas. There was a pad that you used to play like that.
Yeah, it seems like a common thing, I
think,
I guess.
Yeah, there was a big connect. You know, Tony Alva, he played bass, independent, that skater man.
Oh, yeah, Tony
Alva. Yeah, it goes way back, the connect between skating and punk. I think it's very authentic. Okay, so you're playing this skate pad, and are you scared?
Absolutely. Yeah. Out of my mind.
Okay. And what kind of material were you guys doing? Were you copying off records, or were you writing your own stuff?
It was mostly things we had written ourselves, except for the last song where we did 5 Years by David Bowie.
Whoa, okay. You said it was a heavy metal band.
Yeah, back in the day, a little bit.
That's Hunky Dory, right? No, it's not. It's Ziggy Stardust. Yeah. But it's kind of a calm, like, I think he's playing 12-string or some shit. Death takes a cigarette, puts it in your mouth. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good record, man. Have you ever read the story about it? They put it together in like 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, Mick Ronson, Trevor Boulder, and Woody Woodmansey, they really got thrown under the bus. Those cats, nothing against David Bowie, it's probably the management, but man, they really intense, really like camping, right? So yeah, would you call this gig, first gig of yours, a success?
Success is all subjective.
That's why I ask.
Right.
To decide for you.
We had a good time doing it.
Okay. I mean, did they throw shit? I mean, anybody get their leg broke?
Yeah, no broken legs.
Okay,
no,
then it's a success. Look, you gave me this tune, Oyster in a Box. Let's listen.
A penalty reveal! dying portrait of friends with cats. While you listen to Pink Vinyl Hot Rats, what could it be? With a tip of the scale, you could be a comet's tail. Now you're making peace with yourself.
Turtles. Once upon a peculiar time in the southern United States, there stood a town named Lard River. Lard River had gained the unusual reputation as a haven for musicians seeking artistic emancipation. Legends spoke of a liberating aura that pervaded the town, promising not just bottomless inspiration, but mystical transformation. At the heart of this delightful tale was the enigmatic Donut Oracle, a statue of whom stood in the glittering vestibule of the Lard River Donut Factory Outlet. No one knew who built the oracle, though many claimed she was made of powdered sugar and golden lard imported from France. The towering figure was said to eradicate observance to musical convention, to all who might bow before her sugary height, and cast all previous aspirations into the void of the donut hole. The sacrament for conversion was, needless to say, calorically grand, and not for the previously diabetic. With every delightful donut came a hole, and with every hole, another opportunity for observance. From around the globe, musicians came, and with them a previously unheard cacophony rose above the ground and hung like a glittering pink smog over Lard River. Soon, musicians cast aside wood and plastic for instruments made of eggs, flour, hardened lard, and sugar. The town's residents embraced the sweet minstrels as proof of the Donut Oracle's infinite power, and they, like the musicians, grew in size as they religiously and lovingly ate of the sacrament. Soon, only donuts were eaten. "All hail and glory to the Donut Oracle," they cried. Even the McDonald's went out of business. Soon, sitting and reclining stood in for walking and running. Businesses closed, lawns grew shaggy, life ground to a halt. Even the musicians, once drunk on sugar and lard, set down their instruments and merely hummed the odd collections of notes they'd once played so joyously. People in towns as far away as Poughkeepsie complained of the off-kilter thrumming emanating from the once inspirational confines of Lard River. It was then, in a way unlike other mystical beings, the Donut Oracle showed the true grit and sugar. She shook off the shape which had been cast upon her by some previous god, and became a wind, a massive swirling wind, which sucked the tune from the mouths of the fat musicians and laid waste to the town of Lard River from west to east. The storm blew across the coast and into the Atlantic Ocean, becoming an impenetrable blaze which lays upon the water and is likely to remain there for all time. And to this day, Lard River remains flat to the ground. Dust devils of glittering sugar spin in the once crowded streets, and hanging in the air, like a melody just on the edge of memory, a humming vibrates the air. And the sound is sweet. So sweet. they say. I couldn't take it to be on my own.
for Pedro Show. Start that Chuck music off with Watches doing Oyster in the Box. And from Neil Turpin, Leeds, England, Surrender Slow. This is Drummer Man who decided to make a record where he plays everything. Why not? You know that joke about the dogs, right? Why does a dog lick his balls? Because he can. Okay. You're going to use that one. Don't tell anybody. Okay. Ruth Mascelli and Hanson, Mary Hanson Scott, sorry, with Haunted Hearts, Part 1. DNA and Plus NU Unruh with Reynolds, Argentina guys. I made an album with him. It's going to come out. This one's called 19 October. Melvin Gibbs, incredible bass man. Future Blues. Wolf Eyes and Time Designers coming together for Passive Tempos. I think Michigan, right? I think fucking Scotty's son, one of the cats, Godfather. Immer of the D.C. area with Interior 1960s. And he's, I think, the youngest member, Bombas Prendon, who we're next with the Donut Oracle. Ariella, brand new, ready. And finally, Watches with Blue Tenant. Emma, bring your earliest music recollection, please.
All right. I would say listening to, like, themed, like, music days on drives to school with my dad. Like, he'd choose a genre for, like, a day of the week. Like, he'd call it, like, Metal Monday. And he just, like, themed the, like, real short drive to school and, like, school me on different genres.
Okay. That's kind of neat because I've been trying my whole fucking life to fight the idea of genre. So thanks, Pop.
That's where I'm at now.
But maybe, you know, that's how you get, you know how vaccines work. You give them a piece of the bug, right? Mm-hmm. So let me ask you what I asked Tristan. First record you bought with your own money, Emma?
It definitely took me a while because my dad had a big record collection, vinyl and
CDs. Yeah, but you picked those. When you buy your own record, right? Because you ain't got a lot of money.
It was a Fugazi record. I think it was Repeater.
Ah, good one.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. Joe Lally, great bassman. And Brendan, what a drummer, man. Wow.
Oh, yeah, we saw him the other day.
You know, what's the Mesesthetics? Yeah, Mesesthetics with Anthony and Joe Lally, right? Yeah. He has offered to make a record with me. Fuck, I'm all over that shit. That cat. No, I mean, really. I remember one time when this was, he was more younger, but he lifted up his shirt and he put his stomach wherever he wanted to, like a volleyball. I couldn't believe the control that man had. And he does the same thing with a kick drum. He can put it anywhere he wants. So, first gig you saw?
That I remember. I mean, I saw lots of little festivals and stuff that were like family activities.
Well, the first one I
remember, like, the bill of was this local Winston-Salem band called Jews and Catholics.
Ah, you're Winston-Salem also. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were also, I think I saw them at the Garage in Winston-Salem. And they're a guitar, upright bass, and drum machine duo at the time. They got a live drummer later.
Okay. Drum machines. Who did that? Steve Albini, right? And I think the first Jesus Lizard, because they were kind of copying Steve. What was that band called? Before Shellac. Before Shellac.
Oh, Big Black.
Big Black, that's right. Thank you. I would have been wondering about that forever. Okay, so school. Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
Yeah, I was in the marching band, and then my high school had a jazz band.
So marching band, what were you playing?
I played the bass drum.
Kick drum. Okay. Oh, well, not those. It ain't a kick. It's you beat it with the big fucking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you were in the orchestra too. So what, like, timp and fucking triangle, shit like that?
Yeah, so Watch I did all the spiel. Classical
percussion stuff. Yeah, yeah. That stuff's big.
Like, learned to read music and everything.
It's kind of like accoutrements. It's not so much heart like with rock and roll, but still.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's essentially eating a bed. See, that's why I've gotten to this point where music's music to me. So I'm going to ask you about, like, well, the gateway was fucking school then. That got you on the drums. When did you get your first, you know the word trap kit, right? You know what it
means.
You know what it means, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's it abbreviation for?
A drum set.
No, trap set.
Or contraption.
Yes. I know cats who've been playing for years who don't know that, Emma. Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah, I nerd out.
Okay. It comes from New Orleans. That's where they put all that stuff together and stuff.
Uh huh.
Because, yeah, nobody operated more than one drum before those days. You know?
Right.
So they kind of cobbled it and they invented it as they were doing. So when did you get your first trap set, Emma?
I was about 13 or 14. It's a really, really weird story. I had to get some teeth pulled, and the dentist quoted it as, like, ridiculously expensive, and my mom was not pleased. So she offered me, like, by the time our appointment rolled around, if all the teeth came out on their own, like, she would pay me, but, like less than she would the dentist.
Okay. So
I took
a little leverage.
I yanked four teeth out.
And got a drum set.
And my mom was like, what do you want?
Was it a four-piece drum set?
Yeah.
Two, three, spoken
a
piece.
A pearl export kit from a pawn shop in Virginia.
Ah, I was born in Virginia.
Yeah, this is outside of Roanoke.
Yeah, the west, I was going to say it was probably the west part. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was way from on the other side, Norfolk. I was born in Portsmouth. I lived in Norfolk. So
didn't have cymbal stands, so I remember, like, I tied the cymbals by shoelaces from the basement rafters.
So they were, like, hanging, like Christmas ornaments.
It was like that for years, and I realized I had to get cymbal stands when that gig came up that Tristan was talking about. That was when I first...
Yeah, started. When you jam with guys, they had to come to your pad, right?
Uh-huh.
That's for sure. So how'd you meet Tristan?
We met at a skate park, actually.
Okay. Was it that one you guys play?
No, it was a different one. This was, like, just the city skate park, and we'd seen each other around a couple of times.
Okay. Did you know he was on guitar? Did he know you were on drums?
No, not really. We just ended up, like, he was
skating together,
filming little, like, funny skits at the skate park, and I thought they were hilarious. And, like, struck up a conversation and realized we both...
You mean, like, drama?
Yeah.
Okay. It's happening.
So I was like, this guy's funny because it's like the skate park is all these, like, tough guys, right?
Right. Everybody's trying to macho out each other, yeah. And then here's some guy who's cutting it up with his fucking comedy routine. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
No, I can dig it, man. When I met D. Boone, that's how... I thought he was making this shit up. He had bit all these George Carlin bits, you know, and
uh-huh.
I didn't know. Well, I did after that. We were only 12. How old were you guys?
Like 16 and 17.
16, 17. Respectively. Okay.
Yeah.
And then how'd you get into this band he was talking about?
So we sort of like conglomerate formed that with a couple other friends.
Oh, you were part of the Foreman. Okay.
So we were part of, it was a very kind of, like, disorganized thing at first. We had a couple members, like, switch in and out. We formed it.
You know what? I'm going to have to put it on pause because we've run out of time. We're at the end of the first hour of the April 12th, 2024 edition. The Watt Pedro Show, special guest Tristan and Emma, the Watches. Hold tight for hour two. April 12th, 2024. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Step one. Let your feet move on the road. Step two. Shake your hips. Get in the zone. Neighbor!
Thank you. plank link, a choir, a spar, a stench.
Thank you.
for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Watches doing Learn to Dance. Ray Shin out of Tahoe with Your Inside Voice. Ben Salter from Tasmania with Medium Georgian Red. Bass Bridge Quartet with The Bucket. Brand new from Gregorio Smith and Brayerton. Planar Effect 2. The Library is on Fire with We Are the Electric Newspaper Ripoffs. Finally, Watches with Wisecrack. Okay, tell me about this getting together and playing with these cats.
Yeah, so we it was some people, us and some people from school. More from my school, because mm-hmm. I went to, like, more in the city school. Tristan was out in Kernersville. It became obvious pretty fast that we were, like, the like-minded two of the bunch. Like, we were trying to play Black Sabbath covers together the whole time instead of having regular band practice.
Mm-hmm.
And what were they trying to do? Write their own songs?
Yeah, right, like, gentle. They're very, very anti-distortion pedal.
Very gentle, calm. I gifted one of the other guitar members, I gifted them a cheap fuzz pedal I had, and they're like, it's too loud, I don't like this. And I was like, well, that's sad.
Okay. So they're more like, what, like James Taylor or some?
And it's like indie rock.
Yeah, very, very, like, soft, calm.
Like Connor? Bright Eye?
Yeah, like that.
Remember that first stuff he used to do? It sounded like he was crying.
Yeah.
No, he's a good cat, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And to me, you know, music is music, and there's lots of different ways to do it. So, yeah, there was different points of views in this band on which direction. So how long did this band last with you guys? A couple years?
5 or 6 years?
Yeah, almost 6 years.
5 or 6 years.
Okay. Yeah,
and did you get them rougher, and did they get you softer? You didn't seem too soft when we've shared that stage with you.
I think we pulled the cards in the rougher area. Yeah, we made it harder.
Because it had gone down to a trio, and I think we kind of
outnumbered them. There was only one of them left, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no ties in a power trio, people.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. So, okay. But then did you guys ever record?
Yeah. We have a couple records out with that band.
Ah, because you didn't give me any of the material. I know nothing about them. Okay. And, well, when I get this mind-reading thing down, we won't have to speak. But, okay. So what happens? You guys decide, man, we got to cut rope.
Yeah, it came down to differences between personalities and musical differences.
Sure.
And,
well, 5 or 6 years, did you guys tour?
Yeah, we did a couple tours. Yeah.
Wow, okay. So you learned a lot of stuff, so it wasn't wasted. You're investing probably in this Watches thing. So
yeah.
How does Watches come out of this?
Well, we weren't sure if we were going to continue playing music together.
Oh, okay.
When this last band broke up, what that was going to look like. But it only took, like, a month or two
for us
of, like, not playing shows together to realize, like, we super, super missed it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm assuming this cat was the bass man?
It was the bass cat, for sure.
Okay. So, because I asked that because Watches don't have a bass.
It's true.
So, yeah, took care of that.
It's an open spot.
Look, I'm going to play Value Champagne. It's trippy time. Cheap rocks across a pinot for the lady.
We'll be right back.
Walk for Pedro show. That chunk of music started with watches. Value champagne. Not the other kind, people. Then we have DTR plus Zach Pishnote. Yeah, note, like nighttime in Italian. Huh? Pishnote. Branch R is the tune. Then Pishnote, the same cat, with Phillips, Trevor, Evans, only got family names, doing Bedford Crux. Yeah. And Eugene Chadbourne, Greensboro, not too far from you, Little East. Stool Confederacy, Professor Eugene, quite a guitar man. In the old days, right, what was it called? Psychobilly? He played Electric Rake. It was a long time ago. Yeah, you should check it out. And a Shiverboard after that from their new record, Torrential Drencher. Finally, Watches with Cruelty Contrary. Okay, so you guys decided after a couple months you want to play together. And so what, do you have a powwow? Do you have a sit down? What's up? Do we start with a new name? Do we start with some songs? We're not going to replace this guy. We're just going to be a duet. Tell me, you like me.
Emma had this avant-garde project she had called Watches at the time, and I joined her.
All right. So Watches was already going. Okay.
Yeah, it was already a name taken by Emma as her own solo project.
Okay. But
then he got me right.
But that umbrella. Yeah, since it was solo, it's not like, yeah, you were changing members. You were just supplementing it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what was? Tell me about the first prax, because you had been playing 5-6 years together, and now you're in a whole different kind of trip, right? But in a way, not.
Yeah, I remember we just like were at my house at my little practice spot.
Yeah.
And it was just super refreshing. We kind of like open jammed with no rules and like no other member to try to fight with on anything.
Mm-hmm. And I tell you, for Tristan on the guitar, he didn't have to worry about the chords because he's the only guy with chords. I think this is why John Coltrane did that stuff with Rashid at the end, you know. He didn't have to worry about changes.
Well, that's kind of our idea, that, like, both of us could be really maximal on our own instrument.
Uh-huh. Can you remember
that? And as much as we wanted to.
Now, did you do, with you alone doing Watches, did you record any stuff?
No, I've got a solo album. It ended up just being under my own name.
Okay. So Watches is kind of, you know, you and Tristan then, okay, since... repurpose that thing. So tell me about the first Watches song that you and Tristan wrote together.
I think it was Blue Tenant.
I think it was Blue Tenant.
Blue Tenant was the first one we ever wrote.
We heard that last hour. Okay, Blue Tenant.
Yeah.
And what was the process? I'm curious. Like, you know, of course, you said jamming, right? So improvising and stuff. But I'm always curious about improvising. Who goes first?
We traded off a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot of, like, either one of us.
And then the other cat reacts to that?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Okay. And what was Blue Tenant? Do you remember who went first?
I think I did with the drum groove.
Emma had the drum
going? Okay. Just interested. And what about the spiel?
You usually come back like a day or two later with that.
Yeah, we had a recording of the instrumental of the song, and I would just sit there and wonder what it made me think of.
You kind of write on demand, or do you have like a little trove, a little collection of words that's just waiting to be used?
Most of the time, it's on command. I have a lot of phrases.
I've read somewhere that's the way Mick Jagger does it. He does it in the studio. Oh, I gotta get some lyrics here. Okay.
Yeah.
Jumpin' Jack Flash. It's a gas. Gas. Spike right through my head. No, but, you know, some cats, they find kind of the pressure, you know. But everybody's got different ways. That's why I ask about that. Okay, so you get the music first, and then you figure, well, what kind of words will go with this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, interesting. And like for this record here, did you make demos? You guys probably did a bunch of gigs with these tunes before you recorded them, maybe.
Yeah, we played them for about 6 months, probably, before recording.
That's the best way, right? When you fucking really play, you know, MSSV, the day we got done with the tour, the next day we recorded the album. 2 months of playing that shit straight, you get it together. It's a little fast, but it's together. We're at the end of the second hour. April 12, 2024 edition. Wap Peter, so special guest, Tristan Nema. Watches. Hold tight for hour three. April 12, 2024. It's the third hour of the Wap Peter show.
Please be mine. Hey!
Grove Show. Started the third hour off with Watches doing God's Own Hourglass. Then we had Dex Romweber duo. This is him and his sister Sarah. We've lost both of them. Incredible cats. You know, Jack White was very cool to say that he got... You guys familiar with Flat Duo Jet?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Jack White gives respect to Dex for that. You know, I got to share a stage with Flat Duo Jets. And Crow, the drummer was Crow, some cat named Crow. Now, sister Sarah there with this... It's 2009, people, at an in-store Mexicali, baby. She was in Let's Active, Mitch Easter's band.
Oh, yeah, that's Israel. Yeah,
we
yeah.
know Mitch.
Okay, yeah, okay, Mitch Easter, right.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Dex Romweber is an incredible musician. I mean, I'm just big fan. And I tried to get him on the show, you know, that his health went down. And yeah, it's just so, you never know. Yeah, that's trippy. We always think we're going to live forever, you know. It just gets heavy on me. But, man, that cat was beautiful. Big inspiration to me. And respect to Jack White for giving respect to Dex.
Yeah, absolutely.
Crow and Sarah and all these cats, you know. Many mutations after that with Eyes Closed Liftoff. That's Austin Rich. He's going to be on the show a couple months again. Eugene. Oregon. J.D. Pincus and Tall Trees. I think he's living...
Yeah, he's in Asheville. He's a neighbor now.
That's what I'm saying. He's a Georgia guy, and for a long time with the Buttholes, Texas.
Yes.
But now he's playing banjo and living in North Carolina. Okay, and playing no more bass, right? He's on banjo. No, who started off on banjo and went to bass was Chris Kirk with Meat Puppets. Watches finally with Cheshire Grin. You guys didn't give me that, but I found it.
Good job. Good digging.
Cheshire Grin is a trip, right? Because if you know the books, people, by the way, it's two books. It ain't Hollywood. Don't let Hollywood define everything.
That's right.
It's through the looking glass and shit. Yeah, it's just a fucking smile in some places. Okay, tell me about the first Watches gig.
You want to take this one? You want me to take this one?
You got it.
Okay. We played at this place here in Asheville called Great Wild Nowhere. We were on a set with Wishmeyer and the High Hopes and the Mouth Breathers, two somewhat local bands, and we did crunch time in our little practice space and worked for like 3 days constantly for hours trying to make up songs that we could play at our first gig. And,
because it was early in the fucking dealio?
It was very early.
Yeah, we took the gig before we wrote any songs.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoops. But a good reason to get some songs.
Yeah.
And so this blue Tenet, it came out of that fucking cram session?
Yeah.
Okay. And what'd you have to get, a half hour?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a half hour.
And would you call this gig a success?
Yeah, I thought so. It was successful because it led to the rest of the band happening.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, you didn't get scared and run away and shit.
Right.
So that's a success. They don't run you off. They don't lynch your ass. You know, it's a success.
Yeah. And it was a small crowd, but they liked it.
Yeah.
We call those character builders. Hank Rollins has got a great spiel about that. If you can't play those, you won't deserve any other kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, I shared a stage with Dex, Flat Duo Jets, in Raleigh at some fucking shed. Connells, they were like the second tier REM in those days, college band. Anyway, I keep thinking of the guy, but man, he was something else. Great cat.
Yeah.
And he had a great knowledge of old rock and roll and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
Yeah. I think he used fuzz tones. He just turned the motherfucker up real loud.
Yeah.
Them silver tones and shit. Okay. So after you got enough songs for that, you said it led to the next gig. And then did you have when you played with MSSV, how long in the watch his career had it been.
Yeah, a little over a year.
So did you guys have time to tour? Well, when did you make this record?
I feel like I should know that.
The record was...
2023?
Yeah, April. 2023. Yeah.
So it was like the spring, because you played with us in the fall of 2023.
Yeah, and we went on one tour in between there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And man, touring with just two cats, a lot easier, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
More room in the boat.
15-passenger van, so we shared the most.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, stretch out. Stretch out. Okay, I want to play this. I saw death behind those eyes. We'll be right back. Pedro Show Last Music for this edition. Chunk started off with Watches doing I Saw Death Behind Those Eyes. And then Mechanical Bull with See It Through. Muskeg Mudsuck out of Anchorage with Pie Out of Phase. That's the number that never resolves, right? 3.14
mm-hmm.
on and on and on. Constant people with the circumference and the diameter relate to each other, right? Bronson Caves, a Dezo project, dude, with the, who are those cats? My memory. Bob Lee and Jonathan Hall and Heath Seifert. I can't remember right now. Anyway, Brendan Etter, Ensemble with Theme, Chrome Halo from Shiva Burlesque, independent project release, and same as this, Springhouse with No More Yesterdays. No More Yesterdays. That's why you start a band, right? No More Yesterdays. Next chapter. And what is the next chapter for Watches?
Big one. Yeah, we're moving up north to Minneapolis.
Whoa! Okay. When's that happening?
Towards the end of May. Early June, late May.
Like a month?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And any reason why you picked Minneapolis? I mean, that's a great fucking area there. And great, you know, Huskers from the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, me and D. Boone put out their first album. 1981. Yeah. Land Speed Record. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, so yes. I always had the city, like, in their music scene in the back of my mind. And my connection there was Dave King of the Bad Plus.
Oh, yeah, that's a good... Greg Norton played with them cats. He's playing with somebody, Ultra Bomb, now. But he told me about playing with them for a little
Dave was my drum teacher of many, or a couple years after college.
Oh, so he's like a music connect. Okay.
So, yeah, he's helping us out up there.
Okay. So it's not just... It's a relocation, right?
Yeah.
Actually, it ain't that far from stuff. Chicago ain't that far. I bet you it's closer to Chicago than Asheville is.
Oh, yeah, by a lot.
Yeah. So, and what about recording? Do you got another batch?
Well, we got a lot of new songs.
Yeah, we have a whole bunch of new songs.
Do you plan on recording in Minneapolis?
I'm not sure. I guess we're either going to... Actually, no, I think we do have a... We have a plan for that.
Yeah, I think we're going to try to come back home... See some family and take some time to record later this year.
Yeah.
Same pad that you did this first album?
No, the first one was done all at my house. We just recorded that ourselves. Actually,
that's going all right. Back to Mitch. It sounds good, man. It sounds really good.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, look, I want to put the invite out right now. When you get this chapter 2 recorded, will you come back on the Watt from Pedro show and we can play it and talk about it?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's beautiful. And so maybe next time I play with you, I share a stage with you, it'll be in Minneapolis.
Yeah, well, yeah. Here's the hoping. I'd love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, I was so impressed when I saw you guys. I was kind of bummed out a little bit. You know, it was getting towards the end of the tour and you go through this. That was my 69th tour. You go through the little... ups and downs a little bit. And, man, there's nothing like another musician to light up another musician. What a gift you can give. And that's what you cats gave to me. And I can't thank you enough, truly.
Oh, the feeling is mutual. We can't thank you enough.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's what it's about, people, taking turns. I love it. Love it. And thank you so much for being on the Waffle Pedro Show. Can't wait to have you back on.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. People. April 12, 2024 edition of Waffle Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.